Let me turn to the second fundamental action that will allow ICT to contribute to civil and democratic society. We need to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the direct service delivery system through service coordination and shared information systems. As the world's richest nations debate how to bring the catastrophic financial crisis under control, we need to be working to increase our capacity and willingness to share information in relation to our everyday work. What an opportune time for the Making Links Conference. A few days together to allow the development of relationships and links to raise the profile of the importance of ICT in helping to address disadvantage. And a time to allow us to sound a call for action to deliver an integrated, seamless direct service delivery system where service coordination is based on timely information sharing. The key to this is the idea of interoperability of ICT systems. The idea of interoperability is the ability of two or more electronic systems to engage, to exchange information and to use that the information that has been exchanged. In lay terms, to allow two or more electronic systems to talk to each other. Every community service organisation is required to keep a raft of information on its activities, including financial, human resources, program reporting and client information, to name but a few. Many CSOs run multiple programs using funds from multiple government sources, and they are required to report separately using different forms and templates. The reporting time for each agency is onerous, and if we combine the time taken across the sector, it would be very significant indeed. We've been hearing for a long time now about joined-up government. This was to allow more efficient access to government, irrespective of where you entered the system. I think what we need to be looking for from the community service organisational perspective is joined up CSO sector. This would see us delivering true service coordination via electronic systems that have the ability to share data and manage information flow across the sector. But to achieve this, we have to address the multitude of electronic systems used across the health and welfare sector. These range from large proprietary systems to small-scale access database systems built by smaller CSOs with limited resources. Using ICT, we can build a more effective, integrated, inclusive and customer-focused service system through providing support and new opportunities for service providers to better understand and engage with their clients. This includes real-time systems, which will allow staff to share information about shared clients who have multiple problems. It also includes ICT-driven support for frontline staff, such as laptops taken on visits to housebound people, so providing real-time access to background case information or online guidance to help staff work with people who have complex needs. In Victoria, the Victorian Council of Social Services has taken the initiative and have established a working group looking at the issue of interoperability. To quote from their first briefing paper, funding bodies develop systems that address challenges of interoperability from their own perspective and set of needs. But nobody is thinking about interoperability from the perspective of the service providers within the community sector. This will become a particular focus of the newly formed VCOS Interoperability Working Group. End of quote. This is a very important initiative and will be critical for the future of the health and welfare sectors. This is also not going to be an easy task, however. Many of the big CSO NGOs already have invested significant human and financial resources into proprietary systems, and there could be an uneasiness on their part to participate in such a process. And many of the smaller CSOs have built systems that do the job they need to be done. However, if people come to the table with a goal of improving workflow of the coalface workers, then this will result in a more efficient and effective outcomes for people who use the service system. InfoExchange has been involved with a couple of key interoperability projects. For the past 6 years, InfoExchange has been developing a managed service application called S2S, which introduces greater service coordination through electronic referral. This web-based system allows community health workers to send and receive referrals through a central system. The central system then allows workers to understand the full scope of services offered to individual clients, and this in turn results in a more transparent and coordinated service delivery process. Another major factor in the success of this system has been the fact that the design has been carried out by primary healthcare workers themselves and not through the standard government-managed process, where the requirements of the coalface practitioners are not the primary focus. The real change is going to be achieved by bringing together small and medium-sized organisations. Shared systems across this part of the sector could bring about considerable benefits to both individual agencies and clients they work for. I would encourage you to look at the work of the VCOS Interoperability Working Group. In conclusion, a focal point is needed to bring together good practice and initiatives worthy of wider promotion. This should not only cover research and information type activities, but also stimulate communities of users, provide day-to-day practical advice and support, and engage with government, private sector, and the health and welfare sector leaders to promote the importance of digital inclusion agenda and the real opportunities and benefits available. This is the value of making links, a call to action. I propose that we call on the federal government to establish a digital inclusion unit. This unit should be a not-for-profit agency with community sector, business and government representation on the governing body, with the key objectives of identifying and evaluating good practice, providing technical and practical guidance on rollout and implementation of good practice, recommendations that I have to make today. The general gist of this, though, is that we need to have a body that will represent the views and ideas of the people who gather here today. And that body, as I say, needs to be a not-for-profit body that then can argue the case for us within the sector. I wish you very well with the rest of the conference, and thank you very much for listening.